The effects of climate change are being felt every day in Arizona and the southwest U.S. as the drought continues. But the long-term impact is still being explored by scientists. How soon will we have to change our habits when it comes to water and energy use, for example? A recent project led by ASU's Center for Science and the Imagination melds data, essays, and fiction in presenting how cities and communities may be changed by a stronger move to renewables, including solar energy. And the project is captured in a book called Cities of Light, a collection of solar futures. To learn more, I'm joined by Clark Miller, director of the Center for Energy and Society at ASU, and Andrew Dana Hudson, a speculative fiction writer. Clark, the participants in this initial project were able to choose four cities to explore and write about. So did the cities have to have anything in common, or were they selected to offer a variety of energy-related challenges?
We were really interested in having people explore the intricacies of what life might be like in a future in which our world was powered by solar energy. And so we encouraged people to select two different parts of the city and think about how the story might move back and forth between those two different communities so that we could really see those contrasts at work inside each of these different cities. We felt like with that, it would give people a different look for each of the cities, and that would be diverse enough.
There is fiction, there are essays, there is art as well. How is the decision made by the group to approach it that way?
This is a methodology that is used by the Center for Science and the Imagination here at ASU, and it works really well. We bring together speculative writers, we bring together artists, and we bring together experts, and they work as a team to invent a world and a future and a story in that future. And then each person after the workshop goes off and reflects on that experience and writes their own contribution to the book.
Andrew, you were part of the Portland team. How did your group decide on Portland? What appealed to you about that?
I think our initial variables that we were playing with were talking about residential suburbs and also talking about unhoused populations and how those, you know, people who are more like transitory or itinerant or not plugged into the grid access energy. And we had some folks in our group who had experience in Portland. Portland obviously is a city that has had a long and really interesting political history with homelessness, and also is very progressive, but has a very interesting experience of its suburbs as well, of an urban growth boundary, especially thinking about the ways in which energy can be a focal point for other kinds of community conflict that we might imagine. And as we change our energy system, we can imagine that these changes can provoke other kinds of tensions to bubble up to the surface.
And I want to stick with you on that because I want to ask about your piece, Solar Shades. There's that almost dystopia versus utopia. It seemed to blend both of them, but can you lay out the plot of it and how you decided to set the tone?
Yeah, the plot is basically we follow a teenager named Kismet, who he lives in a McMansion that's packed with his family in Clackamas County, which is sort of one of adjacent to the more of the core Portland residential areas. And he is getting slowly but surely drawn into a life of small violence and resentment by his older brother, who really hates the climate refugees and homeless and migrants that have staked out a tent camp on the county line, which has turned into a kind of no man's land. And a lot of his brother Jeffers' resentments focus around these people having solar panels and batteries and energy sources that are not subject to the grid's sort of particular rules. So Kismet is being drawn into a life that I feel like a lot of us would feel very grim about. But one day in the midst of some of their cruel predations on their neighbors, their homeless neighbors, he gets a hold of a pair of augmented reality glasses that lets him sort of see into how the energy companies and the government sees all these energy relations in the community. That really changes his perspective, and he decides to try to organize in his community and in the broader area to try to get some kind of energy amnesty to get these people who are not on the grid brought on without penalty in a way that he hopes will kind of calm his brother's resentments. So yeah, our story sort of follows his life and his organizing around that.
As we go forward into the future and think about these very big questions that the two of you and many others were involved in looking at, how much of the focus needs to be, or how much do we focus either right amount or too much on things, I put in quotes, and how much on people and how we and those to come will be affected, or how much we'll be doing the affecting ourselves?
This was the motivation, you know, the fundamental rationale for this project is that we tend to spend a lot of our time, if not all of our time, when we're thinking about building new energy systems, thinking about technology. And we were like, there's so much of this that's got to be about people because it's so impactful in terms of how we live our lives, the kinds of jobs that we have, the kinds of livelihoods that we have. And so we wanted a methodology that would really bring people back into the center of the conversation and put it on ground that anybody could be part of that conversation. And so we hit on storytelling, and I think the results have been really fascinating, but also significant in terms of how it shifts how you think about the kinds of futures that we're talking about when you put people, and not just, you know, abstract people, but real people engaging in real conflict with real loves, hates, desires, wants, work, families, you know, all of those different aspects about what makes people so interesting and what makes our lives so fulfilling. All that's there when you bring these stories into thinking about energy futures as stories about the futures of people.
You know, not all of our choices are technological and infrastructural choices. Some of them are cultural. How we decide to live our lives, how the expectations and norms we have around work and transport and energy usage. You know, we could imagine reshaping our day-to-day lives so that we have a period of really high activity. We're using a lot of energy in the middle of the day. And then we have a period after the sun goes down where we are spending our time on less energy-intensive activities, you know, most of which are going to be leisure and going to be reading and playing games and telling stories and all those sorts of things that humans have used to occupy their time after the sun goes down since time immemorial. We should all start imagining, and we should start trying to decide what would work for us and what kinds of trade-offs and changes to our lives we would be willing to make or would be eager to make as these changes unfold.
Andrew Dana Hudson is a speculative fiction writer, and Clark Miller is director of the Center for Energy and Society at ASU. We've been talking about Cities of Light, a collection of solar futures.